Let's read pray read Acts 2:42. Let's read together first. And they continued steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let's also pray read Titus 1:9. This time, it's prayer read 2 by 2. Let's read all together. Holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles, that he may be able both to exalt by the healthy teaching and to convict those who oppose. Let's pray read 2 by 2. Thanks, Lord. Now we're going to get into the message 4, the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. We all read to the Acts 2:42. The teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. This is the fourth crystal in this crystallization study. And the first crystal is the witnesses. The second crystal is one accord. And the third crystal is the Holy Spirit in Acts. The fourth crystal is the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. First, we have to know the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. The apostle here is plural, but the teaching is singular. This means there are many apostles, but only one teaching, only one fellowship. This is very clear in English, but in Chinese it's not so clear. But it's the apostles' teaching and fellowship. It's only one teaching and one fellowship. I remember when we read the Matthew 1, we know the book of Acts has no ending, because it is a record of the work of God. So we have to know that the teaching of the apostles is not man speaking. The teaching of the apostle is the speaking of God. We have to be clear on this point. The Acts is a record of the work of God. And the teaching of the apostles is the teaching of God. So, the teaching of apostles is the teaching from God. So, when we read apostles, we should link it with a man. This is the move of the mingling of man and God. So, the teaching of the apostles is the teaching of the mingling of both man and God. But it is speaking of God through the mingling of with man. It is teaching. The teachings from God is the teaching of both God and man. So we have to be clear on this point. In this message, there's only two major points. First is about teaching of the apostles, and second is the fellowship of the apostles. Those two are not separate things. The teaching of the apostles brings in the fellowship of the apostles. The teaching of the apostles produces the fellowship of the apostles. The fellowship comes from the teaching. So teaching comes first, then the fellowship follows. So we have to be clear. First, the book of Acts, it's about the work of God. And the teaching of apostle is also the teaching from God. So we have to turn our concept. The first, Roman numeral number one. And let's read it together. The teaching of the apostles is the unique and healthy teaching of God's eternal economy. It's Roman numeral number one. Let's read Roman numeral number two. The fellowship of the apostles is the unique and universal fellowship of the body of Christ. The reality of living in the body of Christ. Romans number 2, one more time. The fellowship of the apostles is the unique and universal fellowship of the body of Christ. The reality of living in the body of Christ. This message is very simple. Only two Roman numeral points. One about the teaching of the apostles. Second is about the fellowship of the apostles. These two are one. Okay, teaching brings in fellowship. If it's not from the teaching of apostles, it's not the fellowship of the apostles. The teaching of apostles is the unique and healthy teaching of God's eternal economy. What does it mean? Where did it come from? Let's see. 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4 says, even it says, Paul told Timothy, says, I was going into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things, nor to give heed to the myth and the unending genealogies, which produce questionings rather than God's economy, which is in faith. And in both verses, they talk about economy. So, Paul charges Timothy that you have to charge the certain ones not to teach different teachings. In the church should be only one teaching, not, amen. This is the unique teaching. Why is it unique? It only teaches God's eternal economy. We prayer read the Titus 1:9. In Titus 1:9 it says, according to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles, that he may be able both to exhort by the healthy teaching and to convict those who oppose. First it said holding to the faithful word, and then it says the healthy teaching. From this verse, you can see that the teaching of apostles is the healthy teaching. Do you amen? When we study, we should start this way. We say the teaching of the apostle is healthy. Where is that from? Okay, it's from Titus 1:9. It's according to the teaching of the apostles. Then later it says, to exhort by the healthy teaching. So this proves that healthy teaching is the teaching of apostles. And there are five points. Point A, the teaching of the apostles is the entire teaching of the New Testament as God's speaking in the Son to His New Testament people. Let's also read point B, be a boy. The teaching of the apostles is the unique divine revelation of God's New Testament economy from the incarnation of God to the consummation of the New Jerusalem. The teaching of the full ministry of Christ in His three divine and mystical stages. Point C. Let's read together. The teaching of the apostles is the holding factor of the one accord, causing us to have one heart, one way, and one goal. Point D. Different teachings other than the teaching of apostles are the major source of the church's decline, degradation, and deterioration. Point E. We must be those who are holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of the apostles. Let's take a look of these 5 points. Hopefully after that, each one of you can speak these 5 points. And they are not independent points, isolated points. They are all linked. First, it says the teaching of apostles is that the entire teaching of New Testament of God speaking in the sons to His New Testament people. All the 5 points is the interpretation of the Roman numeral number 1. And point A, it speaks that where the teaching apostles from? Where the teaching apostles from? It says the teaching of the apostles is the entire teaching of the New Testament. It is God speaking in the Son to His New Testament people. Later we will study the verses, the references. The source of the teaching apostles is the God speaking. It's the God speaking in the Son. First, it is God speaking. The teaching apostles, firstly, is God speaking. It is not certain apostles teaching. It's God speaking. This point B. This teaching apostles content, the content of teaching apostles. It is the unique divine revelation. What is this revelation? The teaching of the apostles is the divine revelation about from the incarnation of God to the consummation of New Jerusalem. This is the teaching of the apostles is teaching what the full ministry of Christ in His three divine and ministerial stages accomplishment in the His full ministry in three divine stages. If we holding on if we can holding on to the teaching of apostles, then it will cause us to have one heart, one way, and one goal. This is the positive effect. The point four. If we receive a different teaching, there will cause church to decline, degrade, and deteriorate. The point C is the consequence of holding on this teaching of apostles. Point D is consequence of not holding the teaching of apostles. And point E is the person who holding on to the faithful word. That's us. Amen. We must be those who are holding to the faithful word. First, what's the source of the apostles' teaching? And second is what's the content of apostles' teaching? And C is about the consequence of holding on to the teaching apostles. D is the consequence of not holding on to teaching those apostles. In the 5.E is who are those who are holding on to the faithful word? That should be us. Amen. So when we go out, when we speak, we can speak all these truths clearly. So it should be clear on the thought sequence. So we should know the whole sequence of thought. Point A is that the teaching of the apostles is the entire teaching of the New Testament as God speaking in the Son to His New Testament people. Where does this point from? It's from Hebrew 1:1-2. Let's read two verses. God having spoken of old in many portions and in many ways to the fathers in the prophets, has at the last of this day spoken to us in the Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the universe. In the beginning of Hebrews, its first word is God. God speaks. God, having spoken of the old in many portions and many ways to the fathers in the prophets. So the first one is talking about Old Testament. And the second verse is talking about the New Testament that He has spoken to us in the Son. In the Old Testament, He spoke through the prophets. Then the words is upon the prophets, but not mingled with man, like all the prophets Isaiah's. The word came upon the prophets, but the word was not mingled with them. But in New Testament, it's different. It says the word became flesh, so the word mingled with man. This is very different. Yeah. The first small point. God firstly fought in the Son as a man in the four Gospels. In four Gospels, God firstly spoke in the Son as a man. So John 14:10, it says, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who abides in me does his works. This is very clear that that God speak in the Son, amen, to us. Spoke in the Son, amen. And secondly, in the epistles, God secondly spoke in the Son as the Spirit through the apostles in Acts and the 21 epistles, Romans through Jude. When Jesus on this earth, he spoke himself. In John 16:12, Jesus told the disciples, says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Even if, verse 13, until John 16:13, I have to, until the spirit of reality comes and it will lead you into all reality. 16:13. And the spirit of reality comes, he will guide you into all the reality, for he will not speak from himself, but what he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. In verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will declare it to you. And verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I have said that he receives of mine and will declare it to you. So here is, you see, the speaking of triune God. All that the Father has is mine. That means Son. So when it comes to the Acts and Epistles, it's no longer the Jesus himself, but through the spirit, the mingling of the spirit and man, that God speak. So in Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days. Amen. So the apostle teaches what Jesus taught them. Amen. That's the Lord's commandment. So, just only to have the nation baptize them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but also teaching them. Amen. So first he spoke in the Son as a man, and secondly spoke in the Son as the Spirit through the apostles. And also, first is Jesus spoke, and second is apostle. 2 Peter 3:15. That's what Peter said. Even as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you. So Paul wrote to the saints. Also in all his letters, speaking in them concerning these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which the unlearned and unstable twist, as also the rest of the scriptures to their own destructions. You have to circle the letters and then of the scriptures. Yeah. So you know, in the New Testament, God spoke through the apostles and became the scriptures. And also, let's see, Colossians 1:25 is, of which I, whose I is Paul, became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you, to complete the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations. And 27 says, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches. Who wrote? It is Paul wrote. But what he wrote is to complete the word of God. Amen. To manifest the mystery that was hidden from the ages to the saints. I would say this is so all the verses here are very precious, and I really appreciate the Brandon Brothers laboring put all this together. It's all very important verses to prove. First you'll see that John is apostle. John also wrote to the seven churches in the Asia, Little Asia. It says, now here in Revelation, the Spirit has become sevenfold intensified Spirit. In the age of Revelation, the Spirit has become seven spirits. Revelation 2:1. To the messenger of the church in Ephesus, write, this thing says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Amen. So who's speaking here? This is the one, is Jesus who walks in the midst of seven golden stamps. And in verse 7, it says, the Spirit says, so actually who is speaking? It's Jesus, but also the Spirit, the seven spirits. And the verse 7 says, the Spirit says to the churches. It's okay. We have a clear understanding that the teaching of the apostles, it is the God's speaking. In Acts and the apostles, God speaking spoke in the Son as the Spirit through the apostles. And in the Revelation, God spoke in the Son as the seven spirits through the Apostle John. So we know what is the teaching of apostles is the is the God speaking in the whole New Testament. And point B, the teaching of the apostles is a unique divine revelation of God's New Testament economy. It is a teaching of full ministry of Christ in his three divine and mystical stages. The three small points are all very important. How about we pray read two by two, those three small points. Amen. The stage of incarnation is for Christ to bring God into man, to unite and mingle God with man, to express God in humanity, and to accomplish his judicial redemption. Amen. Amen. Stage of incarnation is for Christ to bring God into man, to unite and mingle. Unite and mingle God with man. Unite and mingle God with man. To express God in humanity and to accomplish judicial redemption. The stage of inclusion is for Christ to be begotten as God's firstborn son, to become the life-giving spirit, and to regenerate the believers for his body. Amen. To be begotten as God's firstborn son, to become the life-giving spirit, and to regenerate the believers of his body. The stage of intensification is for Christ to intensify his organic salvation, to produce the overcomers, and to consummate the New Jerusalem. Amen. Okay. Let's review the three stages. First stage of the incarnation. What does he accomplish? He accomplished his judicial redemption. Let's bring God into man. To unite and mingle God with man. To express God in humanity. And to accomplish the judicial redemption. The second stage is the stage of inclusion. It is to be begotten as God's firstborn son, to become the life-giving spirit, and to regenerate the believers for his body. Amen. The stage of intensification is to intensify his organic salvation, to produce the overcomers, and to consummate the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. I hope we can all memorize those three stages. This is the content of the teaching apostles. It is the teaching of the full ministry of Christ in his three divine and mystical stages. In the first stage, it brings the infinite God into the finite man, and to unite and mingle the divinity with humanity, and also to express God in his human virtues, and to accomplish his judicial redemption. And the second stage is to be begotten as God's firstborn son, to become the life-giving spirit, and to regenerate the believers for his body. Amen. Oh, this is for his body. Amen. To regenerate the believers. And the third stage is the stage of investigation, to intensify his organic salvation, to produce the overcomers. So this is what the Lord is doing in the church, is to produce the overcomers, to consummate the New Jerusalem. So if today we don't want to be a overcomers, then we lost the meaning of to be in the church life. All the verses are we are familiar with all the verses. John 1:29 is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 5:19. Amen. The Son can do nothing from himself except what he sees the Father doing. And the stage of inclusion, there are three verses regarding about the three accomplishments. Amen. In the second psalm, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. 1 Corinthians 15:45b, the last then became a life-giving spirit. That's all very clear. Point three. Many point to us that now he becomes the seven spirits before the throne. Amen. It's the seven lampstands, the seven horns, the seven eyes. Everything are all sevenfold intensified. And he called the overcomers in the epistle to all seven churches. Okay. Let's come to point C. The teaching apostles is the holding factor of the one accord. Last time when we are in message 2, one accord, we also mentioned about the holding factor of the one accord is the teaching of the apostles. Jeremiah 32:39. Also we see Acts 1:14. These all continue steadfastly with the one accord in prayer. With the one accord in prayer. Here you have continue steadfastly, also one accord. And Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in teaching the fellowship of the apostles. And then 2:46a, day by day continue steadfastly with one accord in temple and breaking bread from house to house. In all three verses, you have the continue steadfastly. And the one accord is in two verses. And there's another verse they changed one accord to teaching the fellowship of the apostles. Those three verses are kind of the parallel verses, sister verses. So, if you have one accord, then you have the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. You have a teaching and fellowship of the apostles, you also have the one accord. That's how this point is, came out of those three verses. In Jeremiah 32:39, it's one way and one heart. So when the Israels return to Jerusalem, they will have one heart and one way. If we holding the teaching of the apostles, then we will have one heart and one way. Point D is just the other way. Just come. If we do not holding the teaching of apostles, then we will bring in the church's decline, degradation, and deterioration. The first, amen. Corruption is decline. Number one is decline. Second is degradation. It's fall and deterioration. Not only it corrupted outwardly, but also corrupted inwardly. Where do you see this? It's according to 1 Timothy 1:3. We know that this is when Paul wrote to Timothy in about 60 plus AD. 1:3, it says, "Even as I exhorted you when I was going to Macedonia to remain in Ephesus, in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things." Why? Why? Okay, the first 4 to verse 7 is a paragraph. Because when they give heed to the myths and unending genealogies, amen, then it will produce questioning. Amen. So here he refers to the 1 Timothy 1:3-1:7, he to point out the deterioration. And 1 Timothy 6:3-5 is another paragraph. Amen. It's a three. Contention out of which come envy, strife, slanders, evil, suspicions, perpetual wranglings of men corrupted in mind and deprived of the truth, supposing godliness to be a means of gain. So this is the fallen. Amen. Corrupted in mind and deprived of the truth. This is the fallen situation. The last paragraph, 1 Timothy 6:20 and 6:21. Your old Timothy guard the parts, turning away from profane vain babblings. If you're talking about the stocks, that's vain babblings. It's not seeking the gods. So this is a change in nature. And also oppositions from what is falsely called knowledge. So here you see the vain babblings, oppositions from what is falsely called knowledge. So in this point it talks about Ephesus. So a few times in the Bibles that if it's talking about Ephesians, when Paul passed by Ephesus, he sent someone to get the elders of the church in Ephesus to him. So and Paul told them, I never hide anything from you. He said, now I will no longer be with you, and I warned you that there will be wolves coming to you. Even among you, someone will rise up, amen, to... So So Paul warned the elders in the church in Ephesus, warned them, you have to take heed, you have to watch for the flock. Then Paul has the feeling to warn the elders. So he sent someone to get the elders to him. So now you know why. Now in the Timothy, in the second Timothy, it's only about 6 to 7 years later, in second Timothy, Paul told Timothy that all the people in Asia, his, amen, no longer accept his teaching. How do we know there's different teachings? When we read Revelation chapter 2, the epistles to the church in Ephesus, you can see that they already deviated from the teaching of apostles. In the Revelation 2, the church in Ephesus, there it mentioned about false prophet. Amen. A false disciple. No, apostles. False apostles. Apostles. So you know, there was false apostles in Ephesus. So, even though, amen, because of the different teaching, he lost the first love. Amen. The three small points. The striking points of church's degradation is different teachings. These teachings crept in because the church has turned away from Paul's teaching, the unique teaching of God's eternal speaking. Okay, Revelation 2:14 talk about teaching of Balaam. And on the 2:15, Revelation 2:15 also has the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So, also Revelation 2:20, about the Thyatiras. But I have something against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, he who calls herself a prophet and teaches, and leads my slaves astray. So here you also have the teachings of Jezebel. So that's why in 2 Timothy it says, this you know, that all who are in Asia turn away from me. Amen. Point two, different teachings separate us from the genuine appreciation, love, and the enjoyment of the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as our life and our everything. So 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. So Paul was forced to tell the saints in Corinthians about his apostleship. Okay. He was forced to tell the saints in Ephesus. Why? He says, for I'm jealous over you with the jealousy of God, for I betroth you to one husband to present you as pure virgin to Christ. But I feel that somehow, as someone deceived Eve by his craftiness, your thoughts will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity toward Christ. So different teachings will cause, separate us from the genuine appreciation. So that's why Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Point three, in Philadelphia, I guess the number of saints in Philadelphia is less than that of Ephesus and that Corinth. But Philadelphia Okay, amen. Revelation 3:8. I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. That you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. What the Lord wants from us the mostly is to keep and power. Sometimes we want great power. Like Peter, that when he preached, 3,000 got saved. But now a different age, we cannot compare this way. Because in the time of Pentecost, there's a work of spirit. When we migrate to Moscow to preach there, Brother Lee urged us to go as quick as possible. When we're there, we preach gospels in the theaters, and hundreds and thousands get saved. But today is different. Today, what God wants us is to keep His word and do not deny His name. And point E, so we must be those who are holding to the faithful word, which is according to the teaching of apostles. Point E, let's read in point E. Titus 1:9. Amen. So our attitudes should holding the teaching of the apostles, and then we will have the one accord. If we do not hold the teachings of the apostles, then we will have the degradation and deterioration of the church. Okay. The order was kept by keeping the teaching apostles. Amen. The order of the church was maintained by the faithful word, which was given according to the apostles' teaching. It's Titus 2:1. It says, but you speak the things which are fitting to the healthy teaching. We have to speak. Oh, brothers, we have to speak. We have to speak in the home meetings. We have to speak in RSC. We have to speak in Lord's Day morning meeting. We cannot have our mouth shut. To hold on to the teaching is by speaking. Amen. Titus 2:8, it says, healthy speech that cannot be condemned, that he who opposes may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Let's come back to the Roman numeral 1. Let's get our overview. Amen. The teaching apostles. What is the teaching apostle? The teaching apostle is the entire teaching of the New Testament as God speaking in the Son to His New Testament people. Let's go through the Roman numeral 1 again. Number 1. First, the teaching of the apostles is God speaking. It's the unique and healthy teaching of God's eternal economy. It's God speaking the Son to His New Testament people. Firstly, spoke in the Son as a man. Secondly, spoke in the Son as Spirit through the apostles in Acts and epistles. And spoke in the Son as a seven spirit through the apostles John in Revelation. What is the content of the teaching of the apostles? Mainly is the teaching of the full mystery of Christ in His three divine and mystical stages. In the stage of incarnation, Christ bring God into man to unite and mingle God with man to express God in human and to accomplish judicial redemption. And the second stage is man to be gotten as God's firstborn son to become the life-giving spirit and to regenerate the believers for his body, and the stage of intensification is for Christ to intensify his organic self and to produce the overcomers to consuming the New Jerusalem. If we hold on to the teaching apostles, then we have the one accord, have one heart, one way, and one goal. If we do not hold on to the teaching of the apostles, then the church will have the decline and degradation, deterioration of the church. And we must, point five was, we must be those who hold into the faithful word, according to the teaching of the apostles. How do we hold on to the faithful? By speaking. Amen. Saints, who would like to speak this Roman numeral number one? Who would like to try? Okay, Brother Liu, amen. You can look at it online. First, the teaching of apostles is the teaching of God. Amen. This is a healthy, unique and healthy teaching. Why we say it is the teaching of New Testament? Because God spoke in the Son and Spirit in all four Gospels, and also spoke in the Son and Spirit through the apostles in the Acts and Epistles. Also, he spoke in the Son as the seventh Spirit through the apostles, Apostle John in Revelation. What's the content of teaching of apostles? The content is the full ministry of Christ in his three divine and mystical stages. The stage of incarnation, to bring God into man, to unite and mingle God with man, to express God in humanity, and to accomplish his judicial redemption. The stage of inclusion. Christ to be born, begotten as God's firstborn son, to become the life-giving spirit, and to regenerate the believer for his body, in a stage of the intensification. For Christ to intensify his organic self and to produce the outcomers and to consummate the New Jerusalem. And the teaching apostle is the holding factor of the one accord, causing us to have one heart, one way, and one goal. If we teach different teachings other than the teaching of the apostles, then the church will decline, degrade, and deteriorate. Amen. So we must be those who are holding to the faithful word. First, we have to know the truth. Amen. And secondly, we must speak. Amen. Speak the things that are fitting to the healthy teaching apostles. We need to speak more. Now go come to the Roman numeral number 2. Let's read the Roman numeral 2 together. The fellowship of the apostles is the unique and universal fellowship of the body of Christ, the reality of living in the body of Christ. The unique fellowship. Unique apostles is a plural, but the fellowship is singular. There's only one unique fellowship. This fellowship is the reality of living in the body of Christ. There are 4 points under Roman number 2. Let's read point A. Teaching creates fellowship, and the fellowship comes from teaching. If we teach wrongly or differently from the apostles' teaching, our teaching will produce a sectarian divisive fellowship. Sectarian divisive. Point B, the fellowship is the flow of the eternal light within all the believers who have received and possessed the divine life. Point C, the initial experience of the apostles was the vertical fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But when the apostles reported eternal life to others, they experienced the horizontal aspect of the divine fellowship. Point D. The coordination of the four living creatures presents a beautiful picture of the practical fellowship of the body of Christ. Fellowship means doing everything through the cross and by the Spirit to dispense Christ into others for the sake of His body. The Roman number 2 is a continuation of the first Roman number point. It says, the teaching creates fellowship, and the fellowship comes from teaching. The teaching, the fellowship comes from teaching. It's not out of the, we have some kind of fellowship outside of teaching, no. If teach wrongly or differently from positive teaching, then our teaching will produce a sectarian, divisive fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, even as I teach everywhere in every church. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the teaching brings in the fellowship. The 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing, it says, the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? The fellowship of the body, blood of Christ. Point A tells us where this fellowship comes from. Fellowship comes from teaching. Paul never spoke about how to manage the church. The management of the church is not the major point in teaching about apostles' teaching. But if church emphasize the management of church, then he will bring in different fellowship. Okay, a non-apostles teaching will bring in a non-apostles fellowship of apostles. The first point A, talk about the source of the fellowship of apostles. Amen. A correct teaching brings in a correct fellowship. A wrongly teaching brings in the wrong fellowship. Wrong teaching. Point B, talk about the content of the fellowship of apostles and the definition of the fellowship of the fellowship of apostles. Fellowship is the flow of the eternal life within all the believers who have received and possessed divine life. It is the flow of the eternal life within all the believers. We already received and possessed the divine life. When within us there is a flow of the eternal life. And this flow is the fellowship. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also, as a you, as we refers to the apostles, also to you, you means the believers, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So here you see you have the fellowship between John and the believers, and the fellowship is the fellowship of the John is also the fellowship with the Father, with His Son Jesus Christ. So you have the vertical and horizontal fellowship. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Here we see the triune God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 22:1, at the end of the Bible, in New Jerusalem, and he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. Here you see several things. One is a river. River is the river water of life. It's about life. And also God and the Lamb, throne of God and the Lamb. The river is spirit. So you have triune God. And also in the streets refers to fellowship. So this river is proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb and in the middle of its street. This is the fellowship. Point C is the means of fellowship. Amen. It's, the initial experience of the apostles was the vertical fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But when the apostles reported eternal life to others, they experienced the horizontal aspect of the divine fellowship. Here, seemingly, it started with vertical fellowship. But how to say, in our experience, sometimes it starts with a vertical fellowship, sometimes it starts with the horizontal fellowship. So this is kind of twist. It's many lines, okay, the vertical and horizontal, like the fiber, amen, of our clothes. The first point. Our horizontal fellowship with the saints brings us into the vertical fellowship with the Lord. Then our vertical fellowship with the Lord brings us into horizontal fellowship with the saints. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So this one another is horizontal. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from everything. And 1:9, as we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our righteousness. So this is the vertical fellowship. Here, the point is the mingling, the blending. Fellowship is not just past information, so we know how to do. No, this fellowship is blending. The teaching of the anointing, it doesn't just teach us where to go, and mainly the anointing is to anoint himself into us. The fellowship mainly is for the mingling. Here, Leviticus, 2:4. When you present an offering of a meal offering, you can read the footnotes. Leviticus 2:4, footnote 1. You can go home and read that. When you present an offering of a meal offering, baked in the offering, it shall be of fine flour. And in 1 Corinthians 10:17, seeing that there is one bread, this one bread is a corporate meal offering. Amen. One bread. It's one expression, one testimony, one bread. Satisfy both of God and man. Right. Yeah. The purpose of this fellowship and the consequence of this fellowship is bring us into the mingling of God and man. Typified as bread of the meal offering. Point D is the rather major point about the four living creatures. Praise the Lord that the faithful brothers is not only talk about the New Testament, also the Old Testament. Without the New Testament and Old Testament, we don't know what this four creatures is about, living creatures about. But now we have both Old Testament and New Testament. When put together, and we can see a beautiful picture, amen, of practical fellowship of the body of Christ. Here, the four things. One has to be through the cross. and for the body, and for the dispensing of Christ. Here mentioned four things. It's through the cross. Second, it's by the Spirit. And for the body, the fourth is for the dispensing of Christ. And let's read this verses. From Ezekiel 1:9 through 14 is one paragraph. It says 1:9 is that their wings were joined one to another. They did not turn as they went. Each went straight forward in the verse 11. And their wings were spread out upward. Two wings of each were joined one to another. And two covered their bodies. The two wings covered their bodies is to deny self. Means denial self. You can go back home and read the footnotes about a full living creature. Why this function has anything to do with me? You know what? We all are living creatures. This living creature refers to us. If we go back and Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 10, footnote 1. Do you remember when Jesus was on this earth, he was the firstborn of all creation. The four living creatures represent all creations. Means that we are all living creatures. We were typified by living creatures. Remember that the four gospels are the four biography of Jesus Christ. It's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, Matthew review him as the king. Mark is the slave, and Luke is man, and John is God. Reveals Christ as God. And the four creatures are the man, lion, and ox, and eagle. In Matthew is a king. King refers or typified by the lion. Mark is slave. Slave was typified by the ox. The Luke is man. It's just a man. And John is God. God is typified by eagle. Eagle is heavenly. He has those four aspects. So we also are the four living creatures. So the coordination of four living creatures also means the coordination of us today. And Ezekiel 1:19, and whenever the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And whenever the living creatures were lifted up above the earth, the wheels were lifted up also. This is, act by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is in the wheel. First Corinthians 12:14 through okay, 30 is about the body. The coordination of four living creatures, many for the body. It means here you see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 to 20, it means that we need one another. All the members needs one another. 1 Corinthians 12:15, it says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. That's despise yourself. If you say I'm not of the body, is you despise yourself, the body. Also, if I say that I don't need you, then you despise others. Verse 22, but much rather the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. This tells us that everyone are needed. Everyone is needed. We cannot say I'm not of the body. I was not needed. But we should not despise others either. Say we don't need you. Here it says, all of the members are necessary. Amen. We should not despise ourselves. We should not despise others. And the Corinthians 12:23, and this paragraph is about the blending. And those members of the body which we consider to be less honorable, this we clothe with more abundant honor. And our uncomely members come to have more abundant comeliness. But our comely members have no need, but God has blended the body together. This is the blending. It's very important here. God has blended the body together. Why we need a blending? And the 25, verse 25. Why? Because that there will be no division in the body. If you don't blend, then there may be division in the body. The coordination of the living creature means we need each other. And also, we need to be blended. And the 28 through 30 is about different gifts. Amen. In this paragraph, this is talk about for the dispensing of Christ. The all different gifts are for the dispensing. Some have gifts of healing, help, administration, everything. All the gifts are for the dispensing of Christ. So, in this point, we need to know we are all in the coordination. And what is the coordination in the body? We need to, everything has through the cross by the Spirit. Amen. Let's read again. Through the cross, by the Spirit, for the body, dispensing Christ. Amen. Through cross, by the Spirit, for the body, dispensing Christ. When here about the fellowship is the coordination. The coordination is the fellowship. When you talk about coordination and fellowship, it's all boiled down to those four things. It's through, you have to go through the cross, you have to by the Spirit, you have for the body and dispensing for the dispensing of Christ. Okay, we have, let's read point one. The eagle's wings are the means by which the four living creatures are coordinated and move as one, signifying that their coordination is in the divine power, the divine strength, and the divine supply. This point is from Ezekiel 1, chapter 1. Their wings, the coordination of, is the means, the wings are the means of the coordination of the four living creatures. The wings of the eagle. Coordinated not in themselves. Coordinated not in themselves, but is in the divine power, divine strength, in the divine supply. Our coordination, our fellowship is depends on depends on the divine power. Many times in Ezekiel, he mentioned about the ego. Exodus 19:4 is, I bore you on eagle's wings. Isaiah chapter 40 and 31 is, they will mount up with wings like eagles. This refers to a divine power. Point two, each of the living creatures faces one direction. As they face these four directions, two of their wings spread out and touch the adjacent creature's wings, forming a square. I'll come back on this to this point later. Point three, when the living creatures move, they do not need to turn. One moves straight forward, while the opposite creature moves backwards, and the other two move sideways. Let's review the 3 points first. Here it talks about the coordination of the four living creatures. This one talk first point is talk about the power, the divine power. The the power of our move is divine, it's not human. And secondly is the direction. Direction. Each living creature faces one direction. And all the wings spread out and touch each adjacent creatures that are forming a square. The point three, they do not turn, they go straight, move straight forward. We have seen the demonstration many times, the four brothers connect with their hands. Today we don't need to demonstrate here. Here is that each living creatures faces one direction. That means each one has their own gifts. When they move, they do not turn. And that means each one has the time to function. And each one has his own time to move forward and its own time to move backwards. Each one faces one direction. That means each one could walk forward and also have the possibility to walk backwards and also sometimes sideways. The automobile only have one front, so you have to turn. If our car can move like the four living creatures, we don't know how to move. If you have to turn, that means you only have one head. But without turning, that means each one could be the head. This has deep meaning. Not only the divine power is from God, also they each facing one direction means they all have their gifts and they all have the opportunity to function. In point four, in the church service, we all need to learn not only how to walk straight forward, but also how to walk backward and sideways in coordination. There's no freedom or convenience. Coordination keeps us from making turns. Coordination keeps us from making turns. We have no freedom in coordination or convenience. We have to learn walk straight forward. So someone will say that I'm the leading one, so he will never go straight forward. But we need to learn how to walk straight forward, but also need to learn how to walk backward and sideways. Here's ABC 3 points. It's to emphasize those three things. To walk backward and sideways is to say amen to another member's particular function or ministry and burden. Point B. If we care only for our particular service and do not have these four kinds of walk, eventually we will become a problem in the church. Point C, the one who is walking straight forward has the responsibility of following the Spirit. Amen. The reference verses are very interesting. Point A, he says, walk backwards and sideways is to say amen to another member's particular function and burden. It means to say amen. Romans 12:4. For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, So we don't have to compare. We don't have to admire others. And 1 Corinthians 14:29 is very interesting. 29-31, he says, and as to prophets, two or three should speak and the others discern. But if something is revealed to another sitting by, the first should be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one. Amen. Okay, say in 29, it says the others discern. That means sideways. And 30, in verse 30, it says, if someone first should The first should be silent. This is back, go, walk backwards. The first should be silent. And verse 31, it says, you all can prophesy one by one. That means you all have the opportunity. That means walk straight forward. That means each one should have the opportunity to function. So here's to walk back one sideways is to say amen to another members. If we don't have this kind of walk, then we will have problem in the church. The third John 9 says, Diotrephes. What is the problem with Diotrephes? That because he only walks straight forward. He doesn't walk backwards or sideways. Because he loves to be first among them does not receive us. So we don't ever look down on this seven-faced. The seven-faced is not a speaking of man. It is hard to have to compose this online. We need to have this realization. Point C, the one who is walking straightforward has the responsibility of following the Spirit. Okay, in Acts 16, 6 through 10. It says, and they passed through the region of Galatian, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Mycenae, yet the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And bypassing Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul during the night. A certain man, a Macedonian, was standing and entreating him and saying, come over. So here you see the Spirit forbidden. And the Paul see the vision. You can only see the vision in the Spirit. So that means you have the responsibility of following the Spirit. So here you have the responsibility of the one who is walking straight is to follow the Spirit. Point five, if brothers with different functions do not know how to coordinate fellowship, they will compete and even strive against each other, which could result in division. And here is the danger of not in the fellowship. Even when they, in Philippians 1:17, even the motivation of their gospel preaching is not pure. Amen. Amen. Philippians 2:2. I'm sorry. Philippians 1:17 is about announcing Christ out of selfish ambition, not purely thinking to raise up, so forth. Point six. Fellowship blends us, mingles us, adjusts us, tempers us, harmonizes us, limits us, protects us, supplies us, and blesses us, giving us the power and the impact of the Spirit. The body is in this fellowship. This is the benefit of the fellowship. Amen. The merit of the fellowship. The previous point is the danger, the hazardous of not have the fellowship. Here, the fellowship give us the power and the impact. Where in the Bible tells us giving us the power and the impact. Where did you can find in the Bible that giving us the power and impact of the Spirit? That's the fire. We have to read the recovery version in the footnote, very clear in the footnote. When I read Ezekiel 1:13 footnote 1 and 2 at home, Ezekiel 1:13, it says, as for the likeness of the living creature, their appearance was like a burning coals of fire, like the appearance of the torches. The fire went to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of fire went forth lightning. So this fire typified God. That means God can move freely among us. This is mentioned in the footnote. So if we have good connection, then the fire can move to and fro. Amen. Amen. And the living creature ran to and fro like the appearance of a lightning bolt. The living creature ran. So when God can move freely among us, they are not walk, they run. Amen. If the God can move freely in us, then we can run. Amen. Living creatures ran to and fro. Amen. So the fellowship brings us and give more honor to those uncomely. And also, in Corinthians 12 is about blending. And we will be full of power and impact. Point 7. We should apply this matter of coordination not only in a particular local church, but also among the churches. This means that we are followers of the churches, and that the local church should fellowship with all the genuine local churches on the whole earth to keep the universal fellowship of the body of Christ. Not only we have to take care our own localities, but also we need to care for all the churches on this earth. We are all in the one body. Today, the transportation is so convenient. This is all for the fellowship of the body. And I don't know why the verses was used here. In 1 Thessalonians 2:14, it says, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same thing from your own countrymen, even as they also from the Jews." What's the point in this verse? This verse is very interesting. Thessalonica, where is the Thessalonica? It's in Europe. It's in Greek. It's the upper portion of the Greek, Greece. And they have to become imitators of the Church of God, which are in Judea. How far are those two places from Thessalonica and Judea? They are quite far apart. Why Brother Paul want them to be the imitators of the Church of God, which are in Judea? So in that age, the two localities are so far apart. They don't have telephone. They don't have fax machine. It's difficult. But even in such a difficult situation, they have such fellowship. That means the church in Thessalonica imitate the churches of God in Judea. Amen. The fourth point in the Roman numeral number 2 is many for practice. Practical fellowship. The source of fellowship of the apostles is the teaching of the apostles. And the definition of the fellowship is the flow of the eternal life with all believers. And this flow is from the triune God. And this fellowship is interwoven and intervened. And what is the means of the coordination? One is through cross. Second, by the cross. Third, for the body. Fourth, for the dispensing of Christ. So all the coordination should be in the divine power and divine strength and divine supply. And each living creatures face one direction. That means we all have our own gift. And also we all have our turn to function. Amen. We have to learn how to go to walk straight forward and learn how to walk backwards and learn how to walk sideways. Amen. If we everybody want to walk straight forward, then that will bring in problem. Amen. Then we no longer as the four creatures cornered together, but separate. And the consequence of fellowship and bring in the blessing. And we will have the impact. Amen. If we do not coordinate, we will bring in danger to the church life. Not only we coordinate with the saints in our own locality, but also we need to coordinate with all the churches in whole earth. How about we speak about this Roman, the point Roman number 2, 2x2. Amen. Let's speak to, Roman number 2, 2x2. Brothers and sisters, the time really passed fast. In this outline, there are about 150 references, and some, but don't take it lightly. Every verse has a revelation in it. When we study this online this way, we will really thank the Lord that there's such a clear speaking in the church. Here we have the verses from New Testament, also we also have the verses from Old Testament. It's very complete. When we read the book of Ezekiel about the four living creatures, so we are not so clear about what it was talking about. Then if we compare it with the New Testament, then we become clear what it means. So we need to, Acts 2:42 to get familiar with it. Titus 1:9. We try to memorize it. Day three. 1 Timothy 1:3 and 4. Day 5, 1 John 1:2 and 3, just the latter half, amen, which we have seen and heard, amen. That we should really try to memorize this verses. Amen. This verses, if we can memorize, it became the basis of this message. Why do we need to get into the verses? So that's to let this branches of those outlines to have a root. We need to really pay attention to the seven feasts. And don't consider that as a man's teaching. No. This is the speaking of mingling of both God and man. These brothers never invented any teaching out of themselves. They are faithful to the teaching of Brother Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Today, many saints try to find other books. Sometimes people say, why God only speak to you only? We know that God only speak to those who standing on the right ground. And the three books on the Lord's recovery in Old Testament is Nehemiah, Ezra, and Esther. And those books are a record of what the remnants do after they return to Jerusalem. Those can return to New Jerusalem are less than 50,000. But in the Old Testament, they only recorded the things those returned remnants do. They did not record anyone, the 6 million people in Babylon. Those prophecies through the minor prophet to the returned remnants, not spoke to those who in the captivity. Today, God only speaks to those who has returned to the proper ground. So don't despise the God speaking in the seventh feast. It is not a small matter. This is the speaking we really need to get into today. We need to spend a lot of time to get into this message. There are a total of 54 messages out of the seventh feast. If you really get into these messages, you don't have the time to do something, to get into other things. Now today we all know about the teaching apostles and the fellowship apostles. So this is a big truth. So this can make us stand firmly for the Lord. And so also we need to speak this truth. Not we also need to attend. We need to go to the same feast. Memorial Day conference, Thanksgiving conference, even the Chinese conference that's coming up in Houston. This is not very far, so we should all go. Amen. Well, Jesus. Lord, praise you. You are the speaking God. Amen. You continue to speak. Speak among us. Amen. Amen. Oh, we all have the ear to listen. Amen. We need to listen to your speaking. Amen. And answer your calling. Lord, tread your speaking. It is the Spirit speaking. Oh, we're all here. Oh, we've all been kept in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. Oh, keep us in your recovery. Lord, we treasure your speaking. We treasure the teaching of the apostles, the healthy speaking. We pray this is not only become our constitution, but we can also speak the teaching apostles. Also learn how to coordinate with others, how to fellowship others. This teaching brings us into the fellowship. Brothers and sisters, I just want to say one more word. Some of us attended live training. Some of us attended the video training. But every time we come back to this word, we are refreshed. So I guarantee if you go to Houston for the Chinese speaking, you'll be refreshed again. Amen. 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 That's my burden, is that we all go to the Chinese speaking conference. We stop here.